You know, when I talked to John Kerbison about this impasse between Simon Fraser University and the city, I referred to it as a conflict, and he wasn't quite sure that that was the right word. How would you describe what was going on there?
You know, I wasn't directly involved in that, but from, you know, reading, you mentioned the phase one public
In 74.
Meetings,
yeah.
Or whatever that was. There was a town around that time, or just prior to that, there was some kind of town, SFU town site plan that was created. And that was basically like a community or an area plan for the overall area. And my understanding is that included the Loheed Mall site and so on. A lot of that area was not very densely developed at that time, and so it sort of governed how that area would develop. And I think the city, through that process, was continually trying to, through those mechanisms, to keep the university on the hook to my understanding is that as part of the initial site designation for the university campus, there was 1,050 acres, I think, that was being looked at. But that 1,050 acres didn't have a clearly defined boundary. And there was still some discussion going on that boundary needed to be further defined. And, you know, what would actually be allowed for the campus and what uses the rest of the land might have, and whether, you know. And so there was supposed to be some study done on that component. But because there was such a rush to get the campus nailed down, and or the university and the land transfer nailed down.
This is back in 63.
Back in 63. The city agreed to, you know, do the actual land transfer, but with the sort of proviso that there still needed to be that study done and resolution of the actual boundary. So the expectation on the city's part was that some of those lands might be designated as park or, you know, for other purpose. And, you know, whether it was outright stated that it would come back to the city or not, I'm not sure. But there was, you know, that was clear in the city's mind that it wasn't a done deal, that they were going to get all of that land, and that there still needed to be some further refinement and definition, but, you know, through the process of doing some studies and so on. And so that town center plan, town site plan, or SFU town site plan, kept that sort of element
in play. Yes.
And then subsequent plans sort of continued to do that. But it was evident that there was need for something on the mountain. I think that's what stemmed the designation of the conservation area boundary in early 1970s.
That in fact it wasn't just that there was pressure for development down below, mm-hmm. but they really did feel like mm-hmm. they needed to have some more definition with respect to
land uses on the mountain and how that, whatever. And so that was a form of identifying, you know, that the lands outside the ring road, you know, should continue to be park, and, you know, that kept alive that come back to the city.
So the assumptions, there's some confused assumptions, mm-hmm. Misdirection here mm-hmm. in a way, mm-hmm. And it seemed to start crystallizing in the 1980s. It seemed as if the university was facing a financial crunch mm-hmm. and looked at the SFU lands as endowment lands. Now. This is mm-hmm. going to be mm-hmm. an asset that we mm-hmm. can use to raise money. Mm-hmm. In 1988, it seemed as if one of the sparks for the public to get concerned was actually the SFU proposed a sports complex on Nahino Park.
Mm.
And at that point, the Burnaby Mountain Preservation Society comes into existence. Mm-hmm. But it also seemed that one of the rather, actually, maybe I could just ask you this. How significant was City Council's vote to support the Burnaby Mountain Preservation Society's concept for preserving Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area? And this was in 1990 when they did that vote. So how, how significant was that? Was that sort of like drawing a line in the sand?
I was going to say, from my side of it, I don't necessarily know the specifics of that vote, but at the same time, 1990 was 89, like December 89, I think it was when the notice of motion on the park dedications came forward.
Okay.
And so that particular process, it wasn't just Burnaby Mountain, but you know, we talked earlier about those early park dedication bylaws that happened in the 20s and the 30s, and then the 1942 one. And then we talked a bit about, you know, some of the park dedications that happened on the mountain that keep changing and repealed and so on in the intervening years. But generally speaking, there wasn't, there was sort of a big gap in park dedication after that sort of flurry back into the 50s. And it seemed that it fell off the radar, that process fell off the radar as far as sort of the new staff regime and the new councillors and so on that were in place in the city, you know, through the 60s and the 70s and into the 80s. And so by the time 1989 came along with that, this notice of motion that council made was, you know, basically reintroducing the idea of doing the park dedications. So they put forward their notice of motion, and they wanted they listed a number of sites that they wanted dedicated. Included in that was the Burnaby Mountain Park, which was indicated as being already partially dedicated, and the Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area, and it says municipal lands. So you see the distinction there?
Yes.
So this is 1989 December, I think, was originally. This was a commission report, but the council notice of motion was, I think, December 18th, 1989. And so that started the process of doing the park dedications on the mountain. And
didn't staff actually warn council that they couldn't include the SFU lands in that dedication?
Yes. Well, the park dedication, in order to do the park dedication by bylaw, you have to own the land.
Okay.
So if it's not in city ownership, we can't dedicate it.
Okay.
So that, you know, we could dedicate everything else we have. But I suspect that, you know, if the Burnaby Mountain Preservation Society had been lobbying council about that time, and there was already that discussion going on about the SFU lands and such, that this notice of motion, although it included lots of other sites throughout the city, was probably sort of an outcome, maybe, of all of that discussion and lobbying. And, you know, I don't know for sure, but I would suspect the timing of it seems about right.
Yeah.
And so what better way to start doing it is, you know, look to your own lands and dedicate them and designate them, you know, put it out there.
Mm-hmm. And put it out there. That's a good way of putting it, isn't it?
And then proceed from there. And I believe that the there was in 1991 December, council established the Simon Fraser University Liaison Committee.
Okay.
And it consisted of council and university representatives. And the main area of interest of that committee was the resolution of the ownership and land uses involving the university properties situated within the designated Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area. So that would be to address, you know, that concern that SFU had about their finances and, you know, having access to those lands as an endowment and so on, and also the city's concern about getting that land back and designating it for
right.
park.
Well, and it sounded like the city, well, I guess with respect to any person who owns land in Burnaby, the city wants to be able to control the development process.
Mm.
Because it wasn't only that that SFU was looking at expanding into or below the ring road, but the city was controlling what they could do inside the ring road. Mm. They weren't allowing market housing because mm-hmm. it wasn't zoned for that.
No.
So it sounded like all these legal ambiguities, mm-hmm. it was time that they needed to
be addressed.
Yeah.
And some way forward. And so that provincial protected area strategy was sort of a very good timing, perfect opportunity to then sort of find some way to resolve that.
Yes.
And so it really was sort of that fulcrum that just brought everything together and allowed everybody to sort of get some form of what they were looking for out of the process. And
I spoke to a couple of, actually Diane Hansen and Karen Morkey, who are members of the Burnaby Mountain Preservation mm-hmm. Society. And Karen was quite clear that she believed that the compromise was due to the people that were involved at that time.
Mm-hmm.
There'd been a change in the president at SFU mm-hmm. to Dr. Stubbs, who seemed to be more willing to look at a compromise, more sympathetic mm-hmm. to the conservation area. So they felt that, yes, there's a lot to say for timing, isn't there?
I think so. You know, over time, it really, there's all sorts of things that are influences and you know, the players involved at that particular moment
yeah.
in time and the opportunities that come up at that particular moment,
yeah.
they all contribute to, you know, how the direction that something takes. And, you know, you can beat your head against something for decades and get nowhere, and then all of a sudden just the right people and the right opportunity. And fortunately, it all came together and happened, and everybody ran with it.
Yes.
And it worked out.
You know,
but,
oh, yes, but
you know, the success of the market housing at SFU, you know, does sort of, and the density that's up there, you know, there are still issues that need to sort of be addressed, and there are pressures that come with that. And then the advent of things like the expansion of the tank farm and access on the mountain and,
yes.
and so on. They all, you know, you have a defined geography, a defined physical setting that has constraints. And, you know, so the more you densify on the top of the mountain and the more you create sort of challenges on that access point, you know, you're going to eventually run into some issues that might need further resolution.
Yes.
So the gondola, you know, has come up as being one solution to access to the mountain for both the students and residents up there that are wishing to come and go from the mountain without having to involve, you know, a vehicular access
mm-hmm.
and further, you know, vehicular transgression through the conservation area. But under the current covenant, technically, it wouldn't be permitted unless the province
oh my goodness.
waived the covenant for that, right?
Yeah.